All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning, hello, happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little Thursday morning for you.
Flying on by. You get a Tuesday show off. All of a sudden you look up, it's Thursday. What the hell happened, man? Week's almost gone.
It is an odd week. It is a very odd week.
How we doing today, buddy?
I think we're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
Running on fumes over here. No sleep last night.
You got no sleep?
No sleep, man.
Teddy ball game problems ball or just game. Sleep problems?
Not cooperating last night. Didn't want to do it. Great. All right. We're up at 2:30. Cool. That alarm's going off pretty soon.
That's great.
This fall back to sleep's going to feel fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't get anything to eat. I'm starving.
Ooh, no breakfast this morning?
And I'm in a weird spot where I'm not eating pig anymore. So, like, breakfast becomes...
Why's the pig out? What happened to the pig? What'd the pig do to you?
I'm not eating pig.
What did the pig do to you?
I'm not eating pig.
Like, that freshly fried bacon on a Saturday morning.
It's amazing.
The best smell ever.
Breakfast sausage.
To wake up to. Oh, you're missing out.
The ribs and sauce.
Oh. What are you going to eat for the 4th of July? No ribs for the 4th of July?
All beef hot dogs.
All right, that makes sense.
Do you trust an all beef hot dog? If it says all beef, do you actually trust that it's legitimately
no,
beef?
I don't believe hardly anything I read on food packaging, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a big conspiracy theory of mine. I don't think they're checking. I think they just put whatever they want on there.
Why does it have to be a conspiracy theory? Like, can it just be you don't...
Just a theory. Just a thought.
Yeah, just a theory.
I just have a thought, a theory, that they're absolutely lying to you about what you're consuming in your stomach.
Brandon, if you see a pack that says all beef hot dog, do you trust that indeed it's all beef?
I honestly don't pay that much attention to it. I just want a hot dog, so I'll just...
Oh, so when you get a hot dog, you don't even ask, like, is it a chicken dog? Is it a beef dog?
I haven't reached that part of my life yet where I have to be concerned about that.
Are you saying I'm old?
A dog
no,
is
I'm not
a dog.
Saying that.
I think he's just telling you a dog's dog,
I would never tell you that.
A dog is a dog.
Ball is life. Dog is dog. If you're eating a dog, it's a dog. Who cares if
give
it's chicken, if it's beef?
Let me move on.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me be the Glizzy King.
I mean, I don't blame you for
Doesn't Paul Skeens have a new ad? They're calling him the Glizzy King. I think he's got a new hot dog.
Oh, is he big hot dog guy?
I think he's a big hot dog guy. He's calling himself the Glizzy King, I believe, is what we're going with.
Did you see that the other day? I think it was like a week ago, maybe two at this point, but like he was on his way home or on his way somewhere.
I did see this,
and
yeah.
And he saw a group of kids in a park playing baseball, so he stopped and he ended up hanging out with them for like 2 hours.
Just a bunch of Little League kids out there
on a
random weeknight driving home from work, and he had the idea of let's stop, play catch with them, sign autographs, throw the ball around, chat with them a little bit. That is such a cool thing to be able to do, and also so cool that he did it, because those kids will remember that for the rest of their lives.
If
you put yourself
we'll
in,
about
like,
that forever.
You're 8 years old and you're at basketball practice, and whoever the best Blazer was on the team in that era comes just driving into your open gym. Hey, you want to get some shots up today? Dude, you're telling that story for the rest of your life that you will never forget that they came through.
Oh, and then you're going to embellish it at some point.
Dude, 15 years from now.
I actually thought you were the most talented one of this group. That's what he told me.
He told me if I was just a little bit taller, I would have made it to the league. You know, if I wasn't born into this 5'9" frame, I would have had a shot of making it to the NBA, man. I was dunking on these mini hoops at the Boys and Girls Club.
So we got Paul Skeens as the face of hot dogs?
I believe if I didn't get butt cracked, I thought I saw Paul Skeens
as a food chain, Big Glizzy Hot Dogs.
I think it's a fast food place that just sells hot dogs, which don't tickle me with a good time. That sounds fantastic.
Now, I'm going to ask you what may be a dumb question to some.
Fire away.
Are we surprised that hot dog fast food hasn't been more of a thing in American culture in our lives? Like, I feel like the hot dog, if you have it... So, years ago... when my mom would take me and my little brother to my great-grandparents... Probably every other Tuesday is kind of what it became into.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know if it's still there. There was an A&W off of 4th Plain in Vancouver.
An A&W,
and it was a sit-in one. And it had the drive-in, like you could drive in and order outside. And every other Tuesday, we would go and we would get chili dogs.
Yes.
They'd have, what did they call it? But it was like a chili dog Tuesday, basically.
Right. You get a good deal on it.
And every chili dog was 60 cents. This is famously where I got my sharing food phobia, was from my great-grandfather.
Yes.
Who sneezed on mine and was like, you better eat all that.
You better eat all your food.
I'm not touching this, and I'm going to find a way to sneak this into your trash can.
Your old man snot is all over this thing, and I don't trust that.
But we used to do that, and it's just like everywhere you go, I feel like the hot dog is the other menu item. You don't have a place that's like...
That's the main course.
The whole menu is glizzies.
Yes, a different version of hot dog.
Yeah, a different hot dog thing. Like, I guess I would say I am surprised there hasn't been one chain that said, we're going to be a hot dog thing because we're a hot dog country.
Let's make the hot dog our specialty.
Yes.
I'm trying to think now, because A&W is a great example. Do we have any A&Ws left in the area?
Because when I think of A&W, usually morphed with a KFC. I think there's one actually on Sunnyside.
Okay, the one whenever I think of A&W, I always think of Corvallis and getting out of the exit. Like
right off the
exit. I have eaten more A&W at that place than I have in any other A&W in my life. Yeah. Just whenever you're going to Corvallis, it's usually the stop you make, grab some food, or you're just making a pit stop on I-5. Sonic does hot dogs, but I don't ever go to Sonic.
But they're not,
it's not the focal point of their menu.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just a part of their menu.
Yeah.
Like there's a Wiener Schnitzel, it's probably the biggest nationally, but I don't think we have any of those.
I don't think there's a Wiener Schnitzel in our area.
Is it just a locality thing where we just don't like hot dogs in this area and that's why we don't have it? Because we got In-N-Outs popping up everywhere.
Because how many Wiener Schnitzels are even in existence?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that.
It can't be that many.
I feel like it's a bigger deal in other parts of the country.
So like burger I get. I'm more saying like, how has there not been in our lives a Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell equivalent, but with
just
hot
sells
dogs?
Hot dogs. I know. I would go there constantly if you gave them to me.
They don't seem very hard to make.
No, it's incredibly cheap.
They're
half the
cheap
meat's
to buy.
It's from horses anyways.
I mean, you're not probably wrong on that.
Nobody knows where the meat's coming from.
But then again, maybe people wouldn't do it. Maybe the hot dog is a rare enough thing where they separate it and space it out like baseball game, 4th of July.
Costco.
You know what?
You're not wrong. Costco. This is Costco.
That's probably the choice of all the places that exist that
My choice.
Feature the glizzy. It's Costco.
If I needed to go buy a glizzy somewhere that I'm not making personally, first place that jumps into my mind is Costco.
Hard not to.
It's like that one good deal. Two, I trust Costco meat. Who doesn't trust Costco meat?
Sure.
I think they got good meat. Great price. Like
you can't argue
with it. It checks every box. The Costco dog's the best dog out there.
I go to Costco every once in a while right after work. I'll get to Costco at 10:30, and that line for glizzies
is already long.
Like there's already people eating hot dogs and pizza. And it's 10:30 AM. And I'm like, damn, you guys did not wait, did you?
I also feel this way about the corn dog. I feel like the corn dog is the most underutilized fast food item.
What's inside the corn?
It's a hot dog.
It's the dog.
It's a hot dog just wrapped. It's already there for you. Don't even worry about it falling apart.
My brother-in-law's brother, his kid just graduated. Uh-huh. He actually randomly brought this up because my little will always order a corn dog. If she sees it on the menu, she'll want to go corn dog.
Right.
And I brought this up to him, and he goes, oh, we're doing a graduation party in a couple weeks. We should just fry up a bunch of corn dogs.
Yes.
What are corn dogs? Not a good idea.
Corn dogs are always delicious.
So I offered up one of my deep fryers because he wasn't sure he had anything enough for a corn dog.
Right.
But if you can make the batter, it's just dunk. Dip.
It's not that complicated.
Fry and done.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
At our neighborhood grocery store, they have one of those the hot food areas where you can go get turkey, or you could get some chicken breasts or some tendies or some JoJo's. They got one of those that you can stop into.
Right.
Not always on my way home from work is the food out and prepared, but maybe twice a week when I go, because I'll stop by usually a couple times a week on the way home just to grab something. If they have corn dogs ready to go, it's a 100% buy for me.
What's the price of it?
You can get two for like $5.
Wow. Remember when they used to be like two for a dollar?
I mean, yes, they should be two.
They used to be like two for a dollar.
I mean, it's a hot dog on a stick. It should be two for a dollar. But for me now, in this climate, two for $5 is not a bad deal.
You're happy about the
$2.50? It's an automatic lunch for me. I don't have to worry about what I'm cooking when I get home. And usually, I can eat both corn dogs in the 4.5 minutes it takes for me to drive from the grocery store.
So your wife never knows.
To home. And I get home, it's not like, hey, what do you need to eat today? Nothing. I already got two corn dogs in me. I'm done for the day.
Oh, you tell her. You don't sneak it?
Oh, I won't sneak it. No, I'm not ashamed of my corn dog. Love. I'm just not waiting until I get home to eat them. I'm hungry.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've snuck some stuff.
Have you?
Yeah. Not recently, but there was a period there where I would get like a Reese's peanut butter cup at a grocery store checkout and eat that thing in my driveway, put it in the trash can, then walk in. What's up?
Hey, what's going
on? How's everybody doing?
You didn't bring chocolate for the rest of us?
Still eating all that crap, huh?
What are you eating out there?
After I just threw away the Reese's.
Why are you sitting in the driveway for an extra 2 minutes, Sprague?
Somebody says there's still an A&W sit-down restaurant in Staten, and they still have the phone at the booth to order the food. That was
Seriously?
The other cool thing was they had the phone at the booth.
Is it really?
At the Vancouver one back in the day.
Yes.
And my stepdad would usually, because we'd have to go there every other weekend, he would usually on Fridays just do fast food because he didn't want to cook. He got off work.
Right.
We'd go in there once in a while, and he would let me do the order. And I thought it was the coolest thing to pick up the phone at the booth and be like,
yes.
Can we get cheeseburgers? Root beer floats.
I'm ordering myself.
It was, yeah, it was kind of a big boy thing. It was dope.
This is a big deal, man. Yeah, that's a good, Staten is, I haven't been to Staten in a long time. I haven't driven through there.
I don't go to Staten often.
You're not going to Staten very often? The other one that always served hot dogs back in my youth, but there's only one left that I know of, was Mike's Drive-In. Mike's Drive-In always had good hot dogs.
There's a few Mike's Drive-Ins around.
There's one that's left in Milwaukee. Yeah. I know that.
There's one in Oregon City.
Is there one still in Oregon City?
Yeah, by the library.
They'd have the good, like, foot-long ones, too, so you get a little extra meat with it, so it's a nice long hot dog, which, you know, one hot dog's never quite gonna fill you up. It's not gonna scratch you where you itch enough.
Sure.
But if you give me a foot long dog, that's probably gonna take care of my needs.
The problem with the hot dog too is, like, I'm at an age where it's like, you say one's never going to fill you up. Yeah, but if I dabble in two.
You get a little worried there.
I might be asking if we have Pepto.
I don't know if I can stop after two hot dogs. I think I got to get three minimum every time I'm eating hot dogs.
Well, I was thinking about it because we're getting closer to the 4th of July.
We are. You got to get your barbecue ready to go.
And I'm usually pretty corny, traditional American on the 4th. Like, a couple years ago, I just did ribs. They cooked all day. Yeah. Meat fell off the bone.
It's a good thing to do.
And then I usually end up eating like five hot dogs in the day. Because why not?
The hard part about the hot dogs is they cook really quickly.
Yep.
And then they're just sitting around.
Yeah.
And then you don't want them sitting around too long when they're outside, like at a barbecue. They're out on the table. You're like, anybody else going to eat a hot dog here? Anybody else? No? All right. He's been out for like 40 minutes. Well, I should probably eat another one. All right, fine. I'll eat another hot dog.
The other thing is, you don't want to be the guy at the barbecue who has the plate of hot dogs and nobody, like, everybody's health conscious.
Nobody wants to eat
salad. And you're like,
I just made 15.
Anybody eat these hot dogs? And you're like, man, I'm eating my fourth.
Are they veggie dogs? Yeah. No, they're all beef hot dogs.
All beef hot dogs.
And I'm going to eat 17 of them now because you guys don't want to help me out.
You know, aside from the whole not eating pork thing anyway, like, I always just prefer the all beef dog. I just feel like it tastes better than the mix or the pork ones.
I tend to agree with you. If I'm buying, I try and go all beef, but I also am in agreement with Brandon. If you give me a hot dog, I'm not going to ask you what kind of hot dog it is. If I'm buying, I'll go all beef. But if I come over to your house for a barbecue and you got dogs on the grill, I'm not going, you know, what kind of dog are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Is this an all-beef dog? Is this a chicken dog? Do you have any chicken dogs here? We didn't talk about...
I don't usually ask those questions. I usually, if I'm doing it, I just do it.
We did not talk about yesterday one of the other controversies of the Fangolf Classic, and we can play this fun game with listeners.
Yeah.
There was somebody who threw a fit over the idea of a veggie burrito. We forgot to bring that up. Because I also got there. So our great friends.
I totally forgot about that.
Until we're talking veggie hot dogs, it just dawned on me that we never got to that yesterday. So our great friends at Victorico's do breakfast burritos for the morning round.
Dude, they nailed it this
year. And they did. They're delightful.
I mean, they nail
it
every year.
Every year. They're great. They prepackage them so you can take them in your cart if you don't finish the entire thing. Right? It's not like on a plate. It's perfect. Perfect little food before your round. I got there, and I walk up. They had their food truck set up, and the only two, I wasn't there early enough to get the other options. The only ones that were left were veggie and vegan. Now, I needed them to walk me through, like, what's the difference, Steve? Like, what are we talking about here? Because I know I'm not getting meat in either one.
Well, the egg isn't really an egg.
Sure. So I ended up going the veggie option because there's still potatoes and cheese and, like, all right, that's fine for me. There was no meat in there, but the veggie option got it done. There was one host, though, who was very adamant. They will not eat a veggie breakfast burrito. This will not happen.
So I got there
over
about
my dead body.
25 minutes, I think, earlier than you.
Yes,
roughly.
You did.
And when I showed up, they were already
done.
The bacon and the sausage burritos were gone.
That's what you're getting. It's like at a pizza party. What's the first pizza gone? The pepperoni. The veggie pizza's going to be left over.
And I totally get it. Like, the listeners got there early. They got the ones they wanted. I was happy about that.
Yes.
I am not one that can be super picky in this category. If you show me that you have a veggie breakfast burrito, it's exactly what you said. I get cheese.
Yep.
I get egg. I get some potato. And I like sautéed peppers.
Yeah, I do too.
So I didn't even actually know what was on it. I just assumed that was what it was going to be.
Right.
So I did the veggie over the vegan. I asked for the green sauce. Perfect.
Always have to go green sauce.
It's a great size. It's a loaded burrito. And I'm like, all right, I'm happy. I get to the par three to sit down and eat this thing before everything kind of really gets moving quickly. And that host showed up, and they come out, and they're like, I'm starving. I didn't eat anything. And I was like, yeah, they got. When did you get a burrito?
They got burritos
at the
right,
truck.
Right here, ready
and
available.
No bacon, no sausage. They had veggie.
Yeah.
Veggie? I don't eat veggie. I have to have the meat. I don't eat the veggie one. And I went, It's pretty good, actually.
I mean, it was not that bad of a burrito.
In fact, I'm not doing pig anymore, but no. I would maybe choose the veggie over the bacon and the sausage. Yeah, I know, that's a hot take.
It was good burrito. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but it was good burrito.
I thought it was pretty good.
It hit my spot. It got the job done.
When you put green sauce on something like that, it's perfect.
Yeah, green sauce, so good.
And I was like, it's pretty good, dude. And he goes, I just don't do that. I don't do veggie. And I was like, you're being a little too intense for 6:55 a.m. I'll just let you have it.
It's early in the morning. It's a free burrito. You told me that you were hungry. I've presented an option here for you.
I was getting yelled at like it was like it was my fault.
I personally got here at 5:30 in the morning, and I ate every single bacon and sausage burrito that they had to make sure that they ran out. No, I think it was simply because we had a lot of golfers, and all those golfers bought bacon or got, because they were free, the bacon and sausage burritos. And that's why they ran out. I will admit to you, I in my life will never order a veggie burrito on my own.
Yeah.
Never. It's not like if I go to a burrito place, you're always getting the meat option, at least in my life. I was pleasantly surprised. Because I had an initial thought of,
you thought it was not going to be good?
Oh, veggie burrito.
Like, I was happy. I knew it would be good.
Now, I also was starving. I also had not eaten any breakfast, and I knew I was going to eat whatever option was presented to me. And so I had no choice at that point. I'm eating your veggie burrito. It was a good veggie burrito.
Which, you talking about stories we forgot to share? You just reminded me of one involving food. So we all do the lunch, right?
Yes.
We go from Victorico's nailing the breakfast burritos to Matt's Barbecue, perfect brisket, right?
Yeah.
In fact, one of the employees at Langdon, the catering guys, he had some odd behavior going on. It's like, oh, the brisket. He just did this like nobody was talking to him.
He's just doing a happy jiggle because he's carrying the brisket.
Yeah, like a happy jiggle. It was interesting.
If I got to carry Matt's Barbecue's brisket, I'd probably jiggle too.
So we're eating this, right? I get done. I go put my plate away. We have to start doing these announcements. Well, who did I bump into? I bump into our producer, Brandon.
Yes.
I saw him. I thought he golfed. I then started laughing because he signed up for the sheet thing and he was golfing. In fact, it was a volunteer list.
Oh, no.
A total another story that we overlooked and forgot to bring up on the show yesterday.
Yes.
I hope was buried and gone.
Oh, no. That was not going away.
So I see him and I'm...
I appreciate the hustle, though.
I'm asking how, you know, as day going, we're just catching up very quickly, right?
Yeah. I
just saw him for the first time. Well, in the midst of talking, he accidentally spits a piece of food.
Ooh. I said I was sorry.
He said he was sorry. No, I'm not mad about it. It can happen.
I think I gotta bring that up.
What kind of food are we talking about? What bite of food was it?
I believe it was the coleslaw that
the
I
coleslaw,
had taken a piece
okay.
of. And there was a stray that might have got stuck in my teeth still. And as I was talking, it came out of my mouth.
It flew out.
Where did it hit you?
Well, it went at me.
In the chest.
I didn't actually.
He was fine.
Hold
but
on.
But of course, Sprague. Well,
no, I'm going to tell the story.
I'm surprised he didn't
up.
Like jump. Five
I think
feet
he got
back
home and he burned the shirt. Yeah, he took right, that shirt off, put it in a trash can in the backyard, and lit it on fire. I'm never wearing this again.
I'm not. It's not even about you doing it. Like it happens. It's an accident. You
it's
said
a
sorry.
Subplot
about that.
Of the story,
right? So I'm like, we talk, you move on, I move on. Now I need to set up the prizes. So I go talk to our delightful Elizabeth and Sage, who did an exceptional job and deserve a public round of applause for everything they did. So I'm going to talk to them. They're coordinating what prizes we're giving away, and so I'm working with them. Well, Sage looks down because we're looking at this list, and she goes, is that a booger? And it's on my hand.
Oh,
this
no.
This piece of food, he has
no.
spit out.
Oh, no.
I didn't.
It ricocheted off the shirt
How
onto
did
the hand?
You
no,
that?
I'm pretty sure it never hit my body. It went to my hand. I never knew it.
I think it hit
it.
Your body and trickled to your
I
hand.
Never knew it. Well, no.
We need the Zapruder film on this.
Because
did you wipe it off and then it got stuck on your hand?
No, I'm telling you, I didn't even know it was on my hand. And she goes, is that a booger? And I look down, and it looked like a piece of bread. And you know when bread gets a little wet, it gets
yes.
a little like...
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my hand, and I go, I just think in my head, oh, my God, that's from his mouth.
I know
no,
what that is.
No.
I'm freaking out
is.
Internally, mentally,
yes.
right? But I don't project that out. I then go, no, that's just food, and I flick it off my hand.
Tell me you hit Sage.
Please tell me you hit somebody with it.
Sage looks at me and has very big, no way that was food.
No chance. She's not buying it. Now you're booger boy? You're booger guy.
Now I'm booger man.
We got to start calling you booger boy.
I'm worried that I'm booger boy.
Booger Brandon.
To Sage.
Booger Brandon.
Because other Brandon has spit bread on my hands.
Yes. Oh,
no. I forgot to bring that up yesterday.
We now have a way to tell you two apart. Booger Brandon and Brandon. Now we finally solved the problem. Now when I have to ask a question to you guys on the show, and I would say Brandon 1, Brandon 2, it's booger Brandon and Brandon.
Well, we can do the black-white thing. I'd rather do that again.
Booger Brandon's better. No, that's better.
Who's Booger Brandon here?
You're Booger Brandon.
He's the one that spit it
on
me.
You got bugs on your hands, dude. Don't be picking your nose and leaving the bugs on your hands.
Damn it. Damn it.
It's one of those, like, she's never going to believe you, too.
I don't think she does.
I promise you, it was food. Yeah, sure it was. Yeah. Sure it was, Booger Brandon.
And it had the coloring of, like, it wasn't just, like, a solid white. It was, like.
It definitely looked like a booger.
It might have been bread slaw combo.
Maybe.
It was a little green, little white.
That's
I'm
definitely
like,
possible.
Damn it. I remember flicking it going, she's never going to believe it. That crazy. Was food. It looked like a booger.
We had multiple food controversies at the Van Gogh Classic. Who could have seen that coming?
At least ours is funny. The other one was ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I don't do fridging!
People who are betting their paychecks on it, you are correct. Yes, your guesses are correct. I think there's only one person here that would do
there
that.
There was only one candidate.
There was only one candidate who would say no to a veggie burrito.
Well, Booger Brandon and Dirt, we're in today.
Hello.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
I need a lot of caffeine today. Power through. Here we go.
Power through.
Keep drinking it.
Loaded show today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dirt and Sprague, buckle up. We get it going next. 105.1 The Fan. I stay up all night. And we have actual legitimate breaking news to pass along to you.
Early morning breaking news.
Hey-ya!
Did we make a trade?
We didn't make a trade. There is a trade.
There is a trade, but we're just not a part of it. Got it.
A fascinating trade to talk about.
Fantastic.
Now, this was popping up late last night. I stayed up a little later than I wanted to in case this happened before I fell asleep or after I fell asleep, so I wanted to see it.
Wake up the next morning for a bomb. Whoa! What happened?
We got a little Shams bomb.
We do.
The Charlotte Hornets have traded LaMelo Ball and Josh Green to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Naz Reid, a 2033 unprotected first-round pick, three first-round pick swaps in 28, 29, and 30, and three second-round picks in 29, 32, 33.
Woo! Woo!
That's
a lot.
The Hornets have created a $40 million trade exception. You said that was a record? Somebody put that was a record?
I think Bobby Marks said that was an NBA record for a trade exception, over $40 million.
I don't think I've ever seen I've never seen that in my life. So I'm just going to trust Bobby Marks. I should anyway. The Timberwolves now with that trade, they have the number one and number three pick from the 2020 NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're leaning on, when you look at it from the idea of any years that you could lose your first-round pick, from their standpoint, I like that there's only one unprotected first-round pick in there that you're giving up. It's in 2033, so who knows the value of that pick by the time you get there. All the other picks that are at least first-round picks are just swaps, and so, you know, if you're hopeful of re-signing Anthony Edwards and this thing's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future, where are the Timberwolves largely drafting, right, in the back end of the first round if they keep playing the way that they're playing? And so you're flirting with the idea of moving from 29 to 22 or something along those lines.
That's
not that big of a deal to me.
But isn't that so far out that I can't
confidently say that? The 2033 one, like, I have – well, the pick swaps are 28, 29, 30.
Right.
It's like, that's not that – 28 at least, not that far away.
Sure.
The 2033 unprotected first-round pick, like, yeah, dude, that could be a top-five pick for all we know because Anthony Edwards might end up leaving.
Well, what if Charlotte's better than Minnesota in 28 and 29 and 30, then what do the swaps do?
Right.
We no swapsies?
No swapsies. You just stay with your pick. If we're better than you, you're just going to keep your pick. And so that's the one area of the gamble that I like. It's just interesting that that's the player. Like, we knew that they were going to go big game hunting this offseason. They tried with the Giannis stuff. They couldn't get a deal done.
They moved Randall.
Moved Randall to create some cap space, so now they got some flexibility. But the irony of them moving Randall is, what did we all say? Hey, this will be a bigger role for Naz Reid. Not anymore. Now he's going to Charlotte. And it's just, like, LaMelo Ball's a good player. He's had some really good seasons. He's had some durability issues and some driving issues. But it's just, that's the guy that they targeted and want to go after. And now they're going to have a great tandem in the backcourt. We know that. Jaden McDaniels is a good player.
Jaden McDaniels.
You still got Rudy Gobert. Like, it's, you know, I don't know where I slot them in the Western Conference, but it felt like they did need another scoring punch. and a guy that can run the offense and take some of the pressure off of Anthony Edwards when teams want to double-team him, especially in the playoffs. It feels like they've had an issue with that. So that will alleviate some of that pressure off of Anthony Edwards. Love the move for Charlotte. Love, like, Con Knipple seems like he's their guy. You got some pick swaps out of it and a first-round pick. Nas Reed's a great, you know, young big in this league who's finally going to maybe go into his role as a starter.
Yep.
I love the trade from their side of it. It's just, it's interesting and unique for Minnesota. We'll see if it works out for them.
So LaMelo Ball's numbers last year, you mentioned Charlotte. He averaged 25.8 points per game, 9.2 assists per game,
and
6.2 rebounds per game. He shot basically 37% on 13.2 three-pointers per game.
That's a lot of attempts per game.
Well, the year before it was 12.6, 10, 10, 8, and 6. That's his career per game numbers.
We're chucking, baby.
Dude, 13. He averaged 22 shots. 13 of his 22 shot attempts per game were threes.
Let it fly, big man.
40% from the field, and he's a 90% free throw shooter.
And he's only 24 years old, too, I think. 24, well, 25,
okay,
young guy.
So, man, this is a fascinating. I'm trying to wrap my brain around this because I knew it was a possibility this could happen. I just expected it to happen at the first segment of the show.
Also, Charlotte, the idea of them, they weren't shopping him. They just were like, yeah, we'll answer the phone if you want to call
us. People were calling them.
All right, let's hear what you got to offer.
It was Toronto and Minnesota was the report last night, last I saw. So my initial reaction is this. Toronto's fit with him is perfect. It makes all the sense in the world. The style of play that they have, the kind of the way the roster is constructed, needing a guy like this. Now, let me go to where he was actually traded, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Because now in Minnesota, people were debating if this is a good fit. Does this make sense? Who's included in the deal? The report last night was they weren't going to do Jaden McDaniels. We wake up. Yeah. There is no Jaden McDaniels. It's Nas Reed. Is your gut tell you this makes them better right now?
Yes. How much?
So this
I don't
move
know.
Makes them better to
I
you.
Do think it makes them better. I do. Now, I don't. What scale of better are we talking here? You know, 10 wins better, 2 wins better, 1 win better?
Are they 1 win better against San Antonio, who's seemingly going to run it back next
year? I do. And
can they beat a San Antonio? Can they beat an Oklahoma City?
Is it DeSomu? Is that how you say the cat's name
who
just signed? That was the one part of it that I thought when I saw the trade of, like, you just gave him an extension. He filled a little bit of that void of a ball-handling scoring guard. He certainly played that role for them in the playoffs.
That's what makes this fascinating.
That's the only part of it that I'm questioning. But I just think back to times watching them in the postseason. And how many times did it feel like you would just blitz and trap Anthony Edwards anytime he had the ball, and they didn't have a lot of other guys? Like, Randall was a fine scorer, but not dominant, not going to take over a game. And I don't know if LaMelo Ball is going to be able to do that in the playoffs. We've only seen him in the playoffs one time, and that was last year for Charlotte.
Well, it was a play-in.
A play-in, touche. Yeah. They lost in the play-in. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that for them come postseason time, but his ball-handling ability, his ability to run an offense, to just take the pressure off of Anthony Edwards in that, like, you can't throw two guys at him constantly, because if you do, it's going to leave LaMelo Ball, who's averaged 25 points per game and can knock down threes, and also, by the way, is a great assist guy. And so he can run your offense in those cases. I think that's going to help them tremendously in the playoffs.
So here's the other part of this, because it is a huge trade. The 2033 pick, like, you talk about good business. I agree with that. I think Charlotte didn't want to depart with LaMelo, but when you get that kind of offer, Nas Reed helps you stretch the floor. He's a really good basketball player. And then you're getting so much pick stuff that it's like, yeah, sure, let's take some swaps. And if we're better, then fine. If we're not, then we'll switch spots with you.
Probably don't make the trade if Con Knipple doesn't have the rookie year he had either. He was so good last year that maybe you're like, all right, I think we could swap this guy out for another piece.
Okay, but so I'm trying to think of the Timberwolves now, and I always usually take this back to the Blazers, okay? So you have Anthony Edwards.
Yes, you do.
One of the premier offensive players in the league.
Yes, you do.
You now have LaMelo Ball, who basically averaged 26 points per game and shoots 37% from three, and he's, what, 6'8", I think he is?
A bigger guard who, by the way, 9 assists per game, too.
Exactly. Super athletic, move the ball. Jaden McDaniels, we saw it in the elimination game of Denver. Ayo Dosunmu had 40, and Jaden McDaniels, I think, gave him 30.
Yeah, it was those two guys that carried him in the elimination game.
Ayo just showed you that if he needs to, he can be a guy that gets you 20 to 30 points. Like, you start going down kind of the list, and I think the thought from a Tim Connelly, who is the guy that built the Denver Nuggets, who's now since gone to Minnesota, I think the thinking for him is, which one are you going to double team versus good luck defending all four.
Yes.
Right?
Like, we have multiple. We can come at you in waves now offensively.
Yeah, and I think that's the thinking is defensively, we'll kind of wait and see. You still have Rudy Gobert anchoring the middle in the paint.
Yep.
He's still a good defensive player.
One of the better ones in the league.
I think Ant's a good defender when he's locked in to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
Io is kind of strong. LaMelo, not as much. I'm not as big a LaMelo defensive guy.
Right.
But I just think the thinking here is now we have four dudes that in any given moment we're going to get 20 points from. Maybe you got three guys here getting you 20 points. Like, I don't know how the ball distribution is going to go, but it's just it's more of a bank on we're going to have too much offense for you to try to prepare for. I don't know if that's actually going to play out.
Right, if that's their thought process.
I'm just trying to put myself in the, if this is us and this is our roster, our team.
That would be my argument.
Are you feeling better about the Anthony Edwards future in Minnesota given the narratives have popped up already of, oh, I don't know, man. Like, does this make you feel less worried about him demanding out?
It in the short term, yeah. I didn't have that fear in the next, 16 months or so. I didn't think we would escalate to that point. I also, with the Randall trade and their reported interest in Giannis, you just kind of felt like they were going to be aggressive. Now, who they were going to go get, we didn't know until last night it started to leak that maybe LaMelo Ball was going to be their answer. I think we also saw a little bit in the NBA Finals where we talked about this on the show yesterday. Kevin Durant, to his credit, has a quote out there about winning championships and the idea that defense gets it done. And he's like, yeah, I mean, defense you need in order to win championships. But you know what else you need that's probably more important? Somebody in a tight ball game who's getting double teamed who can knock down a tough bucket, right? Like, you got to be able to make buckets late in clutch situations and be able to score offensively in order to win. And I thought San Antonio showed that. They were so dominant defensively, so good when Wimby's on the floor on that side of it, but at times they bogged down and couldn't have somebody that could create something.
Yeah.
And the Dosunmu one is interesting because he pops so much in the playoffs. There's a lingering question for me of what's real?
Yeah.
Like, he averaged 14 points per game, which is not bad. That's a good player, and I thought the contract was a good value for him. But, like, having 43 and 25 in back-to-back playoff games is a bit of an outlier for him. Now, maybe he takes that and builds on it and is more confident and his numbers go up a little bit this year. That was the only thought when they re-signed him. In the back of my head, I'm thinking, if you're banking on that guy being what he was in the Denver series in the first round, I don't know if that's going to happen. And so now you have a little more insurance. And again, the idea of them having multiple guys who can handle the ball and create their own shot is going to, in my opinion, make them tougher to beat come postseason time. And I think you pointed out the most obvious thing, and the best part of it is that you still have Rudy Gobert, controlling the paint as one of the most dominant defensive bigs in the league. And so you're not too worried about that side of the ball, and now they can come at you at waves in offense.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering last night when I saw this, because we didn't have names involved. It was just teams.
Yeah, I'm surprised they gave up Naz Reid.
I thought it was going to be Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
But, Naz Reid is, he's got good size. He's not got great center size. Like, you'd be running a really small kind of lineup there.
Right.
And I know that I think they really like Naz Reid. I bet you that wasn't the easiest thing for them to do, given he was an undrafted player who became quite the role guy for him. Who is more concerned today, the NBA Western Conference or drivers in Minneapolis?
Drivers in Minneapolis.
I think that's the right answer for now,
drivers.
I know.
As long as OKC and San Antonio are there, like, I don't know if this puts you in that category, but you got to keep trying and maybe it gets you closer.
Speaking of trying, we had another trade happen yesterday. We could talk about that a little bit. We will get to the Blazer stuff, but not till in the 8 a.m. hour. I'm going to punt that to 8 a.m. We got Wright Gazaway is going to join us today of K2. Had some stuff. He put out a Dundon video who met with the chambers, the Metro, city chambers of commerce whatever it is.
Business leaders of Portland.
Business leaders, the movers and shakers. And he gave some thoughts on the arena funding stuff. Some people are terrified now because of everything that happened yesterday. So we'll talk with Wright Gazaway coming up at 8 and dive into that at 8 a.m. I got a segment specifically made for Dirt.
Ooh.
It literally on my show sheet says
For Dirt.
The Dirt Special.
Ooh.
That's how I put it on the show sheet.
Do I get a corn dog with the segment?
I think you're going to feel like you have a corn dog.
Oh, if you're making me feel like I got a corn dog, I'm feeling good.
We'll get to that at 7 a.m. But back with another trade that happened yesterday in the Western Conference. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. It is a Magic Hat Thursday. We'll get to that in the final hour of the radio program.
Love my Magic Hat submissions today. I feel like I'm bringing it hard in the paint.
I like mine, too.
Okay. We're tacking the rim today.
I'm pretty sure I left one in there from last week.
Mm.
I think I did. We'll have to kind of check to see what it is.
Well, we remember what it was.
Well, that's always the toughest part. We'll get to that in the final hour. A special segment just for Dirt. at
Thank
7.
You. Thank you.
We can yell about Caitlin Clark being left off the 30-year anniversary poster of the WNBA and getting a knuckle sandwich to the throat.
She did get a knuckle sandwich last night.
I just want to highlight.
I didn't see the 30 anniversary thing. What was that?
Well.
All right. We don't need to get to
They made a poster that says 30 years.
Okay, for the league.
And they put a bunch of players and all the team logos on it.
Yeah.
She is not on that.
Okay. How many players were on it? One for every team? Or are we talking just like a random 15?
Yeah,
how exclusive is the group?
Paige Beckers was on it.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't a history of the league thing.
I get why the Clark stands are upset now.
But also Bridget Carlton of your Portland Fire were also on it.
Yeah, so maybe everybody from every team is on it? Then
I
who would be
they
representing
were
the
for, Fever? Because there's a mix of like old players and current players.
Did Cunningham get it for the Fever? They put her on there instead?
Correct, sir.
Wait. Did they really?
Is she really on it?
Correct.
They put Cunningham on it over Caitlin Clark.
How about that?
The Clark stands are not going to be happy about that.
No, the people that don't watch the WNBA, but anytime they see Caitlin Clark's name, they just yell about it.
Every time something happens to her in a WNBA game, it shows up in my algorithm.
You would have thought that was attempted murder last night with that foul situation.
Anytime she barks at an official, gets into it with another player, hits a game-winning shot, I cannot not see it. Nothing else from the WNBA will ever pop into my algorithm, but that will always be in there.
I like Caitlin Clark. I just find like, oh, she got a technical. What a soft-ass league with terrible refs. She got fouled and the person get ejected. What is this league doing? How terrible. Don't you dare touch our Caitlin.
Can we protect her, please, Kay? She's your moneymaker, WNBA.
Well, in the WNBA, to also place blame. They also have not. You need to be leaning into what's obviously making you money. What
yes.
are you doing here?
Yes, she is the, whether it's fair or right or
it
not.
It doesn't matter.
She is the face of your
yes.
league, and she is the most popular player in your league, and you ride that thing until you can't ride it anymore.
The Detroit Pistons made a trade yesterday. Did you watch the second round of the NBA draft?
I was glued to it from start to every pick, dude. Waiting to see. We got to trade in for a second round pick, right? We got to get somebody. Draft week, there's got to be one new Blazer, doesn't
I actually
there?
Didn't think we would.
No, I didn't.
I either. Think we ended up being, didn't we become the only team to not select a player in the whole league yesterday?
We signed a guy to like a, you know, come hang out with his contract.
Exhibition contract.
Come play in Vegas in a couple of weeks. We signed one of those guys that I've never heard of before. But yeah, I believe we were the only team who did not pick a player. No, I did not watch a second of it.
I didn't either. I think it's incredibly stupid what that league is doing with the breaking up of just two rounds in back-to-back days.
We want to be the NFL, but nobody cares.
Well, you want to be in the NFL? Fine. That's not the area to be the NFL. Move your draft around to all the cities, you idiot.
Why don't we take that idea instead of the multi-day draft?
It's just, don't get me started. We had a trade yesterday. Probably the most notable thing going during the second round was this trade and then the rumor of the trade that we just talked about, LaMelo Ball to the Wolves. The Detroit Pistons traded Isaiah Stewart to the Memphis Grizzlies for 3 future second-round picks.
Beef.
The funny thing was all of those 3 future second-round picks were traded from Detroit to Memphis the day prior in round 1 so they could move back. And then the second day, they're like, you want those picks back for us to get Beef Stewart?
Take them back.
And so because of the trade, they have now opened up cap space in Detroit that has a lot of people going, what's your move going to be?
You know who could? I mean, I don't know about the fit with Cunningham and LaMelo, but they need another guy who can handle the ball and score for them. That's what they are desperate for.
Jaylen Brown in Detroit would be great.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown in Detroit would be great.
But I said this during the Giannis trade conversation. Keep an eye on Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
That trade's not finalized till July 6th.
Yeah, you add more teams in the mix
so,
if you need to.
Yeah, maybe another team or two jumps in and they make this a bigger trade. But I don't know if there's been a player in the entire league's history, as decorated and long as it's been around, has there ever been a player that fits the two teams they play on to begin their careers more or better than Isaiah Beef Stewart.
To go from the Detroit Pistons, the bad boy Pistons, to the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies. No, that's perfect.
I don't know if there's been a better crossover player for two franchises in the whole league than Isaiah Beef Stewart.
Who is the other, like, what's a third physical will beat you up basketball team that he could get traded to after Memphis?
Well, now
is there another candidate?
Yeah, in like 4 or 5 years,
who's the third dirtiest
team? He would be
team?
The perfect backup big for Wemby to just go in there and piss everybody off.
Just
like he's definitely the guy who Wemby leans into, and he goes, "You know what to do.
You know what to do." Go
and
take
he goes in
the
there
game.
And goes, "Oh yeah, I do. It's beef time."
I just love the once every. The only thing I ever see from Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stewart, other than when they make the playoffs, is. the like once a month where he gets into a legitimate fight with another NBA player. It happens. Clockwork. Every 5 to 6 weeks, you know he's going to get into it with somebody. He's going to come running out on the floor. He's going to sprint across the floor. He's going to do something dirty. He's going to get in your face. And I've always said this. I would love to have players like that on Portland's roster. We have a little bit of that with Klingon. He's got a little spice to him, but he ain't no Beef Stewart.
Tumani can get a little spicy.
Tumani can get a little spicy, but they're no Beef Stewart. Beef Stewart is kind of 1-on-1 right now in the NBA, and I'd love to have a guy with that physicality. The bigger story, like him going to Memphis, whatever. Memphis is going to suck for a while. We'll see what they do with John Morant.
This is another thing, dude. I'm not going to pretend the Grizzlies are going to be amazing. They're quietly building a team that's, I think, going to be pretty good in 2 years.
I mean, yeah, give them a couple years, they'll get there.
Look at the Western Conference right now, dude. We talked about this.
Give them a couple years, they'll get there. I'm a big Boozer guy. Like, I'm with you there. They got a nice haul for Triple J when they traded him.
Yeah.
John Morant's going to get traded this offseason.
Well, like,
if you can find somebody that wants to take the contract,
They
want to move on from him. And maybe there's something there for whoever goes and gets him. The bigger story.
Cedric Howard?
Yes. That was, God. You reminded me of that, watching the first round of the draft as they're taking Boozer, and they had a graphic up of, like, key players on their roster.
Their nucleus is pretty nice little young nucleus, man.
It's a shame we didn't have a chance to take him in the first round. If only we had the ability. But the bigger story out of this is Detroit and what they're going to do, because as we see now in the NBA, Detroit certainly had a great year last year. Then they were almost fortunate to get out of the first round of the playoffs. We almost had a 1-8 upset. They clearly need more. They're not one of those young teams that I think the screams run it all back. Like, let's let this thing develop. Like, you kind of know what your deficiencies are. So they've created some space. They have some flexibility now. Now it almost just reminds me of the Minnesota question. Minnesota did this, and we all thought, all right, who's the player going to be? Mm-hmm. We know you're going to go get somebody. Who's it going to be? Turns out this morning to be LaMelo Ball, and now we start on that watch for Detroit because they certainly need another player and another scorer.
He definitely is somebody that you can go and look him up, and the amount of videos that are on the internet since his time in Detroit. I mean, he has a moment where they got into a brouhaha with the Pacers a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he was pushing and shoving, and Miles Turner came in and he laughed and he said, "Shut your ass up. You play with Legos." Told that to Miles Turner. Steph Curry got into it with him and he laughed and he said, "Sit your ass down. You're an itty-bitty guy. You don't want none of this smoke."
No, I don't think you do, Steph.
One of the great stories of Isaiah Stewart is they did Isaiah Stewart bobblehead night in Detroit, and he had been suspended for that game.
He's kind of the Huskies' Dylan Brooks. Like, I wish that was our villain. Why can't that be our villain?
I'm going to push back on that. I don't think he is. I think they love that Beef Stewart.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a villain, but
I don't think Duck fans love Dylan Brooks.
My point is that they have a villain from their college who beats people up in the NBA. I wish that was our villain instead of a guy who does what Dylan Brooks does. Like, I wish that I could embrace this level of villain because he's a great villain in the NBA.
There was a reporter yesterday in Memphis. God, I'm trying to find it. I should have copy-pasted it. So Memphis took a player. Give me a second here. I think his nickname is Potato.
Potato?
And so people were like, you could not draw up having better beef and potato on your roster.
Tell me he's a big. Tell me we get a front
court.
He's a white potato?
Yeah, give me a second. I'm trying to remember how this was phrased.
If we're being honest, Potato as a nickname makes a lot more sense for a white guy. Is he from Idaho? Does he happen to be from Idaho?
No, I'm trying to see who it was.
Beef and potatoes.
I read it and I started laughing out loud. I'm like, that is so perfect.
You got a guy in there too. Like, you're going to try and run stuff through Boozer right out of the gate, I would imagine. You got a big next to him.
Dude, you got Boozer, you got Zach Edey, Cedric Howard, you've got Isaiah Stewart now. Like, it's not a bad little start place.
Well, and they're going to probably suck again next year, and so you're going to add another pick to it, and you hope you land on the right guy.
It was Richie Saunders, the BYU player who got hurt.
Richie Saunders.
His great-grandfather is credited with inventing the tater tot.
What?
So people nickname him.
No way.
They call him the Tater Tot King.
Yep.
So in Memphis now, they've got beef and potato.
That's pretty badass.
I'm kind of jealous.
Like, to have something that you're known for create, the tater tot, is elite.
Would you rather be known as the tater tot inventor or the JoJo inventor?
Tater tot. And I love JoJo's. Don't get me wrong.
Tater tots are infinite.
Tater tot. Like Cajun tots?
Yeah. A dry JoJo's terrible.
It's no good.
How many bad tots do you really get?
You don't get that many bad tots.
Exactly.
You can get a bad JoJo.
Yes, you
and it's not, even with the right dipping sauce, it still ain't going to get the job done.
So Beef Stewart traded to Memphis. Teams in the West being active. LaMelo Ball, if you're just tuning in, is a Minnesota Timberwolf. Big trade early this morning. Loaded second hour. We kick it off. The Dirt Special, Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.